Hey everyone, welcome back to another season of the Christian Apologist Podcast. This is season two, kicking off today. If you are listening to us on YouTube, then welcome back to our YouTube channel as well. I'm hoping this year is going to be in a very exciting year. I'm hoping we're going to have a lot more guests on. I hope we have a lot more debates going on. I hope we have a lot more interviews going on. I know my book, Stand for God, Evidence for God's Existence, is coming out sometime this spring. And as soon as it does, I will let you know when and where you can purchase it. But I am just so glad that we are able to come back today. And I just recently found out that we are now on Amazon Music. So it's either on Amazon Music or Amazon Podcast, whichever one you have. You can listen to us there as well. On today's episode, I want to go into just a little bit of a detail of the Kalam cosmological argument. If you're not familiar with that, that's okay. All of the Kalam cosmological argument states is three premises. It says, premise one, anything that begins to exist has to have a cause. Premise two, the universe began to exist. Premise three, therefore, the universe has a cause. Now, the reason I want to talk about this is I've heard a lot of apologists and I've heard a lot of atheists confront this by saying, well, that's not saying that it is God. And you're right, it's not saying that it is God. The Kalam cosmological argument doesn't take us from here to God. It doesn't take us there. What it does is it takes us from there's no cause to there has to be a cause. That's where the Kalam cosmological argument takes us. Now, when we get to that point, then we can show evidence of why it has to be God. Now, if we can agree with premise one, that everything that begins to exist has to have a cause, premise two says that the universe did begin, and three, therefore the universe has a cause. If we can agree with all three of those, then we can move on to why apologists say it is God. And it's because before the universe began to exist, there was literally nothing that existed. No time, no space, no matter. Nothing existed. And most of the atheists and philosophers and scientists and cosmologists, they will all agree to this. Most of them, I'm not going to say all, but most of them will agree to this, that nothing existed. So now we're either stuck with nothing created nothing or someone created something. And so which one is just more probable? That's what you got to look at. You got to look at the more plausible answer here. Nothing creating nothing or something creating nothing or something creating something. So all we do know is this at this point is that time, space, and matter, that's Einstein's theory of general relativity, that time, space, and matter has to come into existence at the exact same time for anything to begin to exist. And I sit there and say begin to exist because a lot of atheists will go off and say, oh, well then, who created God? Well, God didn't have a beginning, so he's not in this, the beginning. He didn't have a beginning. So Einstein says that time, space, and matter has to have, everything has to come together for something to have a beginning. So whatever created the universe, created the time, space, and matter, has to transcend time, space, and matter, which basically just means that he cannot be of time, space, and matter. So he has to be timeless. He has to be spaceless. He has to be immaterial. He has to be those things, or he couldn't have created time, space, and matter. He couldn't have created the universe. So he has to transcend those things. And on top of all that, he has to be powerful. I mean, you got to be powerful to be able to create something as wide and as big and as massive and as wonderful as this universe. You have to be intelligent to be able to do something like this. And you have to be personal. Now, why do you have to be personal? Because you have to make a conscious decision to create something. Nothing just begins to exist for no reason. There has to be a reason behind its beginning. And so to go from a state of nothing to a state of something, it had to have made a personal choice. It had to have decided to create us. And so that's where we get to there. Now, You even have like astrophysicists, like I'm sitting over looking at my computer, Alexander Filipenko of the University of Berkeley. And he says, with the laws of physics, you can get universes. That's what he says. With laws of physics, you can literally get universes. Now, he doesn't go into detail on how this can happen. He just makes a philosophical statement. This isn't a scientific fact. These are just philosophical statements that he's making. The only scientific facts that we have is that the universe did begin to exist. He also even says that the Big Bang required a divine spark. He tells us this. He tells us that it required a divine spark, but he says that we don't know what that divine spark is, so we are just going to leave it at the laws of physics. See, what a lot of scientists do is they insert their own philosophical claims, their philosophical relativism, into what they believe the science is trying to tell us. But see, you got to keep in mind, though, science doesn't tell us anything. It's the scientists that do. See, science just gives us the data, and then there's scientists that have to translate that data and tell us what it means. But it also, and they also put in their own thoughts and their own processes, because if they can't comprehend that there is a God, then they're not going to sit there and say it's a God. Now, he did get to a point where he said it was a divine spark, but he says that since we don't know what that divine spark is, we are going to leave it to the laws of physics. That's what he says. Another guy, his name is Seth Shostak. He's a senior astronomer at SETI, which stands for the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. But he says that quantum mechanic fluctuations can produce the cosmos. He said, if you would, now hear this out, I just want to know what you think is the more plausible answer. This is what he says. If you would just, in this room, I guess he was in a room setting, just twist time and space the right way, you might create an entirely new universe. It's not clear you could get into that universe, but you would create it. So, he goes on to say, it could be that this universe is merely the science fair project of a kid in another universe. He also added, I don't know how that affects your theological learning or leanings, but it is something to consider. No, sir, that is not something to consider. I mean, I can't believe that these are some of the smartest people that we have working in science, saying that it is possible that we could be a project of held of a, of, oh, I don't say, but a science fair project. That's how this universe came into existence. Now, what do you think is more probable? What do you think is more plausible? That an all-intelligent, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, all-caring being created the universe out of nothing? Or that some kid in a science fair project just created all this? What do you think is more plausible? That don't even make sense to me. I don't even understand how they can come up with this kind of analogy. That's just so irrational. That is completely irrational. In Stephen Hawking's book, The Grand Design, he agrees that the universe had a beginning. He agrees that our universe appears to be finely high-tuned. He agrees to all this. But he also says on page 34 of The Grand Design, he says, this book is rooted in the concept of scientific determinism, which implies that there are no miracles or no exceptions to the laws of nature. Now, Stephen Hawking is probably one of the most brilliant men that had lived. He's passed away by now, but he's probably one of the most brilliant men that had lived since Albert Einstein himself, according to a lot of people. Now, the reason I say this is because anytime he makes a statement, a lot of people take that as gold. They take that as if it came from the word of God himself. But this is not a scientific fact. This is a philosophical assertion. That's what this is. It's not a scientific conclusion. It's not like something he figured out in a lab. He is just making a philosophical assertion to what he believes and to scientific facts that he has gathered. So it's not a scientific fact. And so we have to keep these kinds of things in mind. He also says that a quantum vacuum could have created something. The laws of gravity could have created something like the universe. I mean, think about that. Let me show you something here. I'm in a hotel, if you can't tell behind me. I'm in a hotel. I'm in San Antonio. We're doing a conference down here. But anyways, so I'm going to take this, and I'm going to drop it. And guess what? Every time I drop it, it falls. Straight on my hand or the desk. But it falls. That's all it does. That's all gravity does. It doesn't do anything else. Gravity doesn't decide. It doesn't make a rational decision. It doesn't create things. It literally just makes things fall. That's all it does on Earth. It makes things fall. That's all it does. So how can you sit there and say that the laws of gravity can create something like the universe? That makes no sense. And Stephen Hawking, before he passed away, he was saying that he believes that there was a quantum vacuum, that a quantum vacuum could have created all this. But once again, he's presupposing that there's a vacuum out there. But then again, he also sits there and says that everything began to exist at the Big Bang. So how can he have something before the Big Bang that created the Big Bang when there was nothing before the Big Bang? See what I'm saying? It is self-defeating. He makes claims and then he makes other claims and they self-contradict each other. That goes against the laws of logic. It can't go against each other. I mean, he even goes on, and there's many other theories out there about, you know, there could be multiple universes out there, and there could be other dimensions out there. And that could be true. We haven't discovered any. I don't think it's likely, but it could be true. We just haven't discovered them yet. But that would not take away from the fact that we would need a God to create all these things. Now, yes, I am a Christian. I do believe in Jesus of Nazareth, and I believe he died for our sins. But we're not talking about Christianity right now. We are just talking about there has to be a God. See, to try to get atheists to go from being an atheist to believing there is no God into believing in Christianity, we can't just go from no God to Christianity. We have to get them to understand that there is a God. Now, once you get to a God, then we can get them to there being the Christian God, Yahweh. You know what I mean? So you can't just make assumptions. So if you keep hearing me say, you know, a God, the God, it's not because I'm not a Christian. It's because I'm trying to get them to see that there has to be an intelligent, all-powerful, timeless, baseless, immaterial, all those attributes that we've already listed. Those are the attributes of God, the Christian God. And so we have to get them to believe in a God first before we can get them to believe in Christianity. Now, think about this for a second. The universe was born with the Big Bang as an unimaginably hot, dense point. Now, when the universe was just 10.34 of a second or so old, and now that is a hundredth of a billionth of a trillionth of a trillionth of a second in age, and it experienced an incredible burst of expansion known as the inflation period, in which space itself expanded faster than the speed of light. Faster than the speed of light. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second, and the universe started expanding at a faster rate than that. It was during this time. Now, think about this. It's expanding faster than the speed of light, and it was during this time that the universe doubled in size at least 90 times. 90 times, going from a subatomic size to a golf ball-sized almost instantaneously. Now, I'm laughing at that because think about this. Think about the expansion. Think about how fast it's going. 90 times, and it just barely gets to the size of a golf ball. I mean, so imagine how small this point had to be. And there's a lot of people out there that are materialist or naturalist, not so much materialist, but naturalist. They'll sit there and want to claim that they believe that there could be laws out there that we just haven't discovered yet. And so these things were out there. This material was out there before the beginning of the universe. Now, the problem I have with that is, let's just presuppose, okay, that these things actually were out there. Let's just go with them on this rabbit trail. Let's just follow them down the rabbit hole. Where was it? Please, somebody answer. Send me an email. Do something. Where was it? If this stuff was literally out there, for one, where was it? Space hadn't been created yet. So where was it? Okay? Two. Why isn't the universe older than 13.8 billion years old then? Now, what do I mean by that? So, if this stuff had always been around, and we don't know where it was, I mean, we can't say space because space hadn't been there yet, but wherever this stuff was, according to some of these naturalists and materialists, why didn't it create itself a long time ago? Why just 13.8 billion years ago? Why not much, much longer ago? I mean, has it been doing? Okay. So let's just bypass that. Let's just say that finally it just took all the time for this imaginable material to come together in a place that doesn't exist yet after an infinite number of time, because this stuff has always been here. So infinitely it's been around. And so now it finally comes together for whatever reason. And then, boom, here comes the Big Bang, right? No, that still doesn't work for me. I'm sorry. Now, why is that? Because we still have the fine-tuning argument. We still have the law of morality. We still have the laws of logic, unless those have been internal too. And so, really, what it boils down to me is, if you're going to sit there and say that the laws of logic, the laws of mathematics, the laws of physics, the laws of nature, all these things have been eternal. They're eternal. They're forever. They've been here forever. They'll be here forever. That just sounds like a lot of the attributes of God to me. So, I mean, you can call it what you want, but it sounds like a lot of the attributes of God. The only difference is your stuff doesn't have a mind to create things, and you're just chalking it up to chance from, now hear me out. All this stuff that you think is eternal, okay, there's one. Existing in a place that doesn't exist yet, that's two. Somehow or another, after an eternal time together, just floating around wherever they're at, coming together with some material, and then creating the universe. That just takes a lot more faith to believe in that than just to say that there is a mind out there that created everything. That's just what it seems like to me. I mean, anything else other than that just seems pretty irrational, honestly. Like, to me, it doesn't make sense. And so I don't understand how atheists have this mentality of, like, no one created something out of nothing and by nothing. Or just to say, someone created something out of nothing. I think someone created something out of nothing. I don't think nothing creates nothing. These are elementary type mentalities to sit there and say that nothing can come from nothing. And one more thing I haven't even mentioned yet. So if by chance, let's just presuppose again, let's go down this rabbit hole a little bit further with the atheist, the naturalist, materialist, whatever you want to call yourselves. So if this happened after an eternal time, these things came together that always existed and nowhere, finally came together and decided to create the universe. How come we don't see these things happening now? How come pink dinosaurs don't pop up in my hotel room right now? If things can come up out of nothing, out of nowhere, and by nothing, why isn't it still happening? Why aren't we seeing these things happening now? We don't. We have no evidence for that. Now, I'm not sitting there going to claim that, oh, we have 100% evidence of God's existence, because we don't. What we do is have reasonable deduction from the evidence that we do have, that science and philosophy and the laws of logic and the laws of nature and everything else that is given us, this is what we do have. And we just say that it's more plausible that it leads to a mind than it does believing that nothing created nothing by nothing. Guys, I hope you stay with us this year. I hope that I'm able to put out a podcast or YouTube video at least once a week. Check us out on any one of your favorite podcasting networks, Spotify, Google Play Store or Google Podcast, iTunes, Amazon Music and Podcast Now, pretty much all the major networks out there, and on YouTube. And as soon as I find out when my book is coming out, I will let you know. You all have a blessed rest of your week, and God bless.